relationships, grihasthas, between the grihasthas, sannyasis, god brothers, gurus and common people. How a Vaishnava deals with others. So the point one says the Vaishnava society is very meticulously structured, where seniors are always respected by the juniors, and juniors always receive affection and blessing from the seniors. The affection flows from the senior to the junior, and respect rises from the junior to the senior. This is the natural dealing between people. The parents or the superiors must shower their affection upon the juniors. And when the juniors see, or when the juniors receive that affection, then naturally they develop the respect for the senior. And among the equals, there is friendship. So that is the very basic principle of Vaishnava. Not only Vaishnava, any human dealing. Seniors shower their affection, and the juniors offer their respects to the seniors, and among the equals, there is friendship. Point two, the Vaishnava society is structured according to Varnashram. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and Sannyasi, Banaprastha, there's a spelling mistake. Sannyasi, Banaprastha, Grihastha, and Brahmachari. Actually, apparently this Varnashram structure is a material structure or based on material consideration. But the structure of Varnashram that the Vaishnavas follow, that is called the Daiva Varnashram. That is structured according to the Varna and Ashram, but that structure has Krishna in the middle. With Krishna in the center, everybody deals with each other. And these Varna and Ashramas are according to the Guna Karma and according to the order of life. This Varnashram, the Vaishnava Varnashram or the real Vedic Varnashram, is not based on birth, but it is based on according to one's natural propensity and according to the influence of the material modes upon the individuals. And then the ashrams are based on the order of life that one is situated in. When one is a student in the beginning of his life, he is a celibate, he is a brahmachari. When one attains his youth after completing his studies, he enters into household. And then when the children grows up to take care of the family affairs, and they pass their youth, they reach their prorotto or early old age, then they give up all their material attachments and walk into the forest or walk into an ashram. And then they become a sannyasi. There are considerations of seniority according to initiation among God brothers. The ones who received initiation earlier are considered senior. That is the basic seniority among basic consideration of seniority among the God brothers. It's not that when we become God brothers, then we all become equal. No. Those who have received initiation earlier, they are considered to be more senior God brothers. And then of course there are other considerations, like according to one's advancement, according to one's service, according to one's position. So Vaishnavas, actually we must try to remember all the time that the Vaishnavas are very ready to offer respect to others. It is not that the Vaishnava should think, who I should offer respect and who I should not offer respect. And the moment, and if I can, if I get a chance not to offer respect, then we feel good about it. Instead, the Vaishnavas are ready to offer respect. Ultimately, our goal is to offer respect to even an ant. Every living entity is respected by a pure devotee. Sthabor jangam dakhe, na dakhe tar murti, sarvatra sphuraye tar ishtadev sphurti. He doesn't see the external appearance of different living entities. He doesn't even consider whether one is a moving or non-moving living entity. Whatever he sees simply his worshipable Lord. And that is the stage actually of Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. He sees every living entity as a spiritual being, not as one's material designation, which is nothing but a covering offered by the material nature according to one's previous activities. But that is only a temporary consideration. But the ultimate consideration is that every living entity is a living entity, is a spiritual soul. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. And every living entity comes from the spiritual sky. At point four, Guru's god brothers should be respected as the Guru. Point five, Sannyasi should always be respected as the Guru. Point six, in a Vaishnava society, everyone tries to become humble. The more advanced one is, the more humble he becomes. The sign of advancement lies in one's humble disposition. The more advanced one becomes, the more humble he becomes. But we must remember that this humble disposition is not an artificial thing. Like the Sahajiyas, apparently they display a very, they apparently display themselves to be very, very humble from their external behavior. But the moment there is some conflict or the moment there is some obstruction to their sense gratification, then immediately they stand up like a snake. So, Vaishnava's humility is genuine, so much so that a Vaishnava is surrendered to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. It is not that he is humble to everyone. When Krishna's devotees are offended, then the Vaishnavas stand up like a thunderbolt. But when the other senior Vaishnavas chastise him, then no matter how powerful he may be, he becomes more humble than a blade of grass. So that is the position of a Vaishnava, and that's how he is humble. Point seven, this deals with Kalavinka Prabhu's question. Sometimes senior Vaishnavas may offer respect to a junior Vaishnava due to his humility. But a junior Vaishnava should never think that he deserves that respect from all senior Vaishnavas. On the other hand, when a senior Vaishnava offers him respect, then the junior Vaishnava should feel extremely embarrassed and repeatedly pray to Krishna that he receives the respect. Often it happens like a Vaishnavas, as I said, they're naturally humble, especially to other Vaishnavas. He is very, very humble. And he may offer obeisances just seeing his tilak and neck bead. Just seeing him dressed as a Vaishnava. But the person he's offering respect to may be much too junior than him. So in that case, the junior Vaishnava should feel very embarrassed and worried also, because when a senior Vaishnava offers respect to a junior Vaishnava, then it is actually very unfortunate in a way, for the junior Vaishnava. Unfortunate won't be the exact word. It is not proper, rather. It is a transgression of etiquette in a way. So the junior Vaishnava should think that the respect is not offered to him. The respect actually has been offered to the super soul in him. And so he must make sure that the respect has been transferred to the super soul. He should pray to Krishna that he receives the respect. And he himself never thinks that the respect was offered to him, and nor should he ever demand respect from all the other senior Vaishnavas. Like sometimes it happens, junior Vaishnavas, due to their lack of advancement, and sometimes they think that why that Vaishnava did not offer me obeisances. All the other Vaishnavas offered me obeisances. Why he didn't do it? But that should not be the attitude. And actually, Vaishnava doesn't want to receive any respect because it is dangerous. If we do not transfer the respect to Krishna, then we are in trouble. Point 8. One should always remember that his business is to become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and desiring no respect for himself, he should offer all respects to others. So this is the translation of the third verse of Shikshashtakam. Trinadopi sunitena taroriva shahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That is the ultimate principle that a Vaishnava in the Gaudiya Sampradaya must follow. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, in Mahaprabhu's line, this is actually the ultimate vidhi that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. Trinadopi sunichana, becoming more humble than a blade of grass, taroriva shahishnuna, becoming as tolerant as a tree, and amanina manadena, desiring no respect for ourselves, we must offer all the respects to others. And then only we will be able to chant the holy name all the time. Kirtaniya sadahari. With that mood, we must chant the holy name all the time. Sada. So actually our goal is to chant the holy name all the time. But how can we chant the holy name all the time? Only when we have developed that mood. Only when we become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and desiring no respect for ourselves, we are ready to offer all respects to others. Then only we will become free from nam aparad, and then only the shuddha nam, the pure name, will vibrate in our tongues. And once we chant the shuddha nam, the pure name of the Lord, we will attain Krishna prem, love of Krishna, and that will give us the taste so sweet that we'll keep on chanting all the time. What to talk about keep on chanting all the time? Like the holy name will dance on the tip of our tongue all the time. Bhakti Vinod Thakur described that he's saying that Krishna naam dhare kato bol. I do not understand what power this holy name has. So rising from the depth of my heart, when it passes through my throat, it makes my throat break as if the sound cannot come out. The holy name cannot come out, but the holy name forces its way through my broken throat and comes onto the tip of my tongue and keeps on dancing, and I can't control it. And when it dances on the tip of my tongue, my body goes through all kinds of disasters. The tears keeps streaming down my eyes. The hair stands on end, romancho kampo oshru, my body keeps on shivering, And then finally I faint. So that is how the pure, that is the effect of the pure chanting of the holy name. And we'll be able to chant in that, in such a pure way, only when we have become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and desiring no respect for ourselves, we are ready to offer all respect to others. Point 9, transgression of Vaishnava etiquette will undoubtedly destroy one's spiritual life. Vaishnavas have to be very, very careful, because if we transgress the Vaishnava etiquette, then it may destroy our spiritual life. Point 10, never take sides when there is a disagreement among senior Vaishnavas. Stay neutral, because the quarrel among the Vaishnavas is a kind of pastime and beyond our understanding. So when senior Vaishnavas apparently may get into some kind of disagreement or some kind of fight, the junior Vaishnavas should not side with anyone. They should simply stand aside, thinking that we do not understand what's going on. Because the senior Vaishnavas will very soon harmonize all the discrepancies. And they'll reconcile and they will become friends again. But if the junior Vaishnavas take side, then their feud, their conflict with each other may continue. And in my personal experience, I have seen sometimes senior Vaishnavas would fight, get into a fight, and their followers would also line behind, line up with the senior Vaishnavas, and they also get into a conflict. And it becomes very, very unpleasant. And finally, many of them end up losing their spiritual life. So, there are often, the senior Vaishnavas, they can get into some kind of loving conflict. That is, in Bengali, that is called pranoy koloho. Pranoy means love, and koloho means quarrel. Among Vaishnavas, this kind of loving quarrel often takes place. Like Nityananda Prabhu used to fight with Advaita Acharya Prabhu. That was their pranoy koloho. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started beating Advaita Acharya Prabhu. So these are some very, very transcendental activities among the Vaishnavas. And so the junior Vaishnavas should not think, oh, such and such person insulted my guru. So I will see that, I will take revenge. Or I will see that something is done about it. So that mood should not be harbored. Like Prabhupada often had some disagreements. Prabhupada sometimes had some disagreements with his god brothers. But Prabhupada always told us not to worry about that. He said, whatever is happening between me and my god brothers is our business. And that's none of your business. So that is the Vaishnava mood. Disciple should always respect his guru as God. That, of course, doesn't mean that the guru becomes God, but because the guru is the representative of God, the disciple always feels that he is as respectable as the Supreme Lord is. And the guru, in his turn, offers all that he receives from his disciple to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the meaning of via medium. A guru's position is that of a via medium. And a via medium is transparent. It not only allows everything to pass through to Krishna, but the guru actually enhances the vision of his disciple, so that he can perceive Krishna in a better way. 12. Preachers should have compassion upon innocent souls, but avoid the offenders. The preachers, they actually, preacher is a Madhyamadhikari Vaishnava, is a middle class Vaishnava, and or second class Vaishnava, and a preacher must make discrimination, and his discrimination is between Krishna, Krishna's devotees, innocent and offenders. And for Krishna, he has love. For the devotees of Krishna, he has friendship. For the innocent, he has compassion. And for the offenders, he has disregard. So he avoids the offenders and showers his compassion and mercy upon the innocent. So the innocent people, those who do not know Krishna, can become aware of Krishna and become Krishna conscious. Yes, Maharaj, do you have some comments or questions?
I have some questions. In the point 1.3, it's mentioning about juniors respecting seniors. You mentioned that point 3, there's seniority according to initiation among godliness. So in terms of a junior respecting a senior, we have a phenomenon now in our society where many of the persons who gave it to our spiritual masters have left this movement. So subsequently, their disciples have taken shelter of Prabhupada and feel themselves as Prabhupada's disciples. So how do they judge when their initiation date is, who they give respect to, and how does this all come into play now? Because here it says that you're supposed to give respect to the godbrother of your guru as this is your guru. But now, in a situation like this, they feel themselves to be, they may feel themselves to be, if they're feeling themselves to be Prabhupada's disciple, then they feel that they're the godbrother of anyone who also may have gotten initiated by Prabhupada. So how does that work?
First of all, this is an abnormal situation.
But in our society, it's become quite normal.
Right. So I was just, I wanted to make that point, clear that this situation is quite abnormal. And my personal observation is that the disciples of the fallen gurus, right after the gurus fell down, became very hurt and they lost faith practically in everyone. And, but as they are making advancement, actually at that time they thought that only they can take shelter of Prabhupada and no one else. So, but then as they are becoming more and more mature, they are making, seeing other devotees, and receiving a lot of affection and concern from other senior devotees, they are gradually developing that faith and trust. And I feel very confident that in due course of time we'll see that those who felt that, well, we'll take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and no one else, in due course of time, they'll see that there are other devotees in the movement around them, those who are also very senior devotees, and they can trust them, and they can actually take shelter of them. And ultimately that's what's going to happen, because when Prabhupada was present here, Prabhupada actually did not allow us to just have a relationship with him and with no one else. I mean, I personally saw and even experienced that whenever I had some difficulties, then Prabhupada would emphasize that, no, you try to cooperate with the devotees. And I have seen sometimes devotees who go to Prabhupada with some complaints that they can't work with their god brothers. Then Prabhupada's answer most of the time was that, if you love me, then you cooperate with those who also love me.
I think that in regards to the question I asked, one advice may be given, that that internally they may take shelter of Prabhupada, but they should still, in terms of external behavior, which is Vaishnavitya, they should offer obeisances to those who took initiation from Prabhupada, just as if they were in the next generation. But internally, they may take full shelter within their heart. Now, obviously, there's another level, which is spiritual advancement. But in terms of this course in Vaishnava etiquette, we're also dealing with not only what may be internal, but also external is important. Okay. So I think that they will be very safe in this. I asked this question to you. Of a very senior Vaishnava, and he gave this response.
Yeah.
This will be a very safe
question. Yeah, that's actually natural, because otherwise it will be transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. Like, we devotees, those who lost the shelter, the apparent shelter, they may take the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, but at the same time, externally they should maintain a mood of respect to other senior devotees.
And just another corollary point, that in regard to the seniority according to initiation among Godbrothers, which initiation? There's first initiation, second initiation, and sannyas initiation. So what is the seniority based on?
That is also another consideration of seniority. The sannyasis are senior according to the varnashram consideration.
My question is that among sannyasis, how do they consider seniority? By the date of sannyas or by the date of initiation? Of harinam or diksha or sannyas?
According to the date of initiation.
First initiation.
Because that is the beginning of his spiritual life, so he's senior according to that calculation. Yes, Maharaj.
I guess this is connected. Now, the second point, it says the Vaishnava society is structured according to Varnashram. So, Prabhupada wanted us to establish Varnashram, and when we establish Varnashram, it means that certain relationships have to exist between the different Varnas for the management of the society to exist. Now, there are other considerations in terms of initiation. For example, sannyas, first, second, and there's considerations in terms of advancement. Now, in a Daivi Vanashram society, what seniority will take precedence? For example, the Brahmin has a certain role in the society. So someone may be, for example, in the role of a Sudra, but may be a very advanced devotee. Or he may be in the role of a Kshatriya and may be a very advanced devotee. But still, he has a relationship with a Brahmin in terms of the management of the society. So how will that, which will take precedence?
Yeah. As far as the external dealings is concerned, they will strictly follow the Varnashram considerations. Like when a Kshatriya comes across a Brahmana, he will get out of his throne and offer obeisances to the Brahmana, although he may be a very, very powerful king. So a Vaishnava will follow this external consideration of Varnashram. But ultimately, the Vaishnavas will consider the degree of Vaishnavism in the individual, and that should be the ultimate consideration, or that will be the ultimate consideration. So the ultimate consideration of seniority or advancement is one's attachment to Krishna.
But in terms of the dealings, they would be based on the Varnashram considerations.
Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah. And this point about Guru's Godbrother should be respected as a Guru. We find that that's very difficult in our society. I've never found practically anyone I've ever mentioned is able to always apply this.
Here, as you mentioned, I would add one one more sentence by saying that Guru's godbrothers in good standing. Because actually there are many godbrothers of the Gurus, those who are not even in the movement. And it's very difficult to respect them as Gurus. But the Guru's godbrothers in good standing, and those who are full-time engaged in Krishna consciousness activities. Yes, Vijay.
But even then, because we associate so much with the godbrothers of our spiritual masters, sometimes, because there's so much association, there's sometimes like a friendly relationship.
The friendly relationship may be there, but still, the junior would offer the respect. It is his duty. Like, the senior may embrace him like a friend, but the junior should always maintain an attitude of awe and reverence. Like, an example is, Srinivas Acharya's disciple was Ramchandra Kaviraj. And Narottam Das Thakur was Srinivas Acharya's godbrother. Now, Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj are great friends. They are very close friends, although they were actually the uncle and cousin, uncle and nephew. But Ramchandra Kaviraj's attitude towards Narottam Das Thakur was always of point reverence. But it's Narottam Das Thakur who actually stooped down to his level to offer him his friendship. So you see, like, if it is a matter of becoming low, you see, Vaishnava wants to become more humble. He wants to become lower and lower. So it's the senior who should come down to a lower level, not that the junior should rise up to the senior level.
What about this point number 10, where it says that the disciple never takes sides when there is a disagreement among senior Vaishnavas. Stay neutral because the quarrel among the Vaishnavas is a kind of pastime and beyond our understanding. So, if the disciple sees his guru and the godbrothers of his guru arguing, since he should respect the godbrothers as just like his own guru, he should see his gurus are disagreeing. It's not that he should suddenly take sides with his guru, thinking that would be a Kanista mentality. My guru is everything, and the Vaishnavas are nothing. And I side with my guru. Yeah. But actually, I should see them all as guru, and he should realize this is beyond my
understanding. Yes.
Right? Because in our movement, sometimes, as you said, that doesn't happen. We get these situations where the guru is with so many, he has some disagreement, and then all of the disciples just stand by him.
Right.
And they commit so much opera as a result, instead of remaining neutral and just thinking, I can't understand this.
Right. The disciple would feel like the guru is being offended, and he said that one should not tolerate offenses, his guru.
Yes, that's the problem. Like, the disciple would think that the guru is being offended, but he is not considering that he is actually being offended by his guru's brother. That his guru is being offended by his brother. So the brother may have some kind of relationship which is beyond your understanding, beyond the disciple's understanding. So it's better for the disciple to stay aloof. We don't understand. My guru has other god brothers, so let them, if there is anything wrong, let them settle it. And let me stay clean out of it.
I give an example.
Yes, ma'am.
I was working with Prabhupada in Bombay, and I said something deprecating about one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, and Prabhupada immediately said to me, I mentioned to him that I thought that this particular godbrother would never go back to Godhead, considering Prabhupada just said some things about him to me, which were not very good. So I said, I can't imagine how this person is ever going to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada immediately said, you cannot say that. He said, my Guru Maharaj is an ocean of mercy. He said, even if, when Putana came to kill Krishna, still he delivered her. He said, they are all liberated themselves now by the grace of my Guru Maharaj. They will all be liberated. So you cannot say anything like that.
Right.
And later Prabhupada said, I may say that, you cannot say.
Okay. Here's the
that point of number 10, to see the arguments of Prabhupada disciples as some kind of lila. And on my personal experience.
You see, lila is not, it was not meant in that way. Here it was actually meant as, some activities that we do not understand, and some intimate, dealings between them.
What about in a situation where your spiritual master wouldn't actually be present, but one of Prabhupada's disciples would be present, and that devotee would have a great influence over your life or over the lives of others in that community? What is the situation then like? If your spiritual master isn't present and there's maybe only one or two Prabhupada disciples actually there, to what degree can we actually see the faults in that devotee? Just the word lila, some of the happenings in this kind of could hardly be described as lila, like gurus falling down and so on and so forth. And it doesn't seem like they're very difficult to actually understand them. They were
First of all, don't misunderstand this word pastime as lila. You see, the lila is only of Krishna and his pure devotee.
Is it not understandable?
It's beyond our understanding. What we meant is beyond our understanding. It's not a regular, regular down to earth practical happening. It is something beyond us. Right. Anyway, to answer your question, I would say, first of all, the duty of a Vaishnava is to help the disciple of other Vaishnavas to become more attached to their guru. He will not steal or he will not dissuade the disciples of his godbrother gurus from the guru. He will enhance their relationship. Well, then there is something wrong with that individual. No, they shouldn't take action. They should report to the senior authority. In ISKCON we have a structure. And the ultimate authority is GVC. You see, if the junior devotees try to take action, then it will be a revolution. And you never accomplish anything out of revolution. At least in the Vaishnava society, and a Vaishnava society doesn't have this word in the Vaishnava dictionary called revolution. So, actually Vaishnavas believe in authority. So if there is any discrepancy with some individual who is in a senior position, his discrepancy should be reported to the senior authorities. And there is always senior authorities. In our society, it is the GDC body which is the ultimate authority. And ultimately, Krishna is the supreme authority and he is seeing everything. And if somebody goes haywire, then Krishna will take care of it. And actually, Krishna does. We have seen in the past how Krishna takes care of everything. So revolution is not really desirable. It simply creates disturbance and it simply ruins the lives of many, many devotees. Yes, Krishna.
There is an example of the case of the first one, why Sukhdev Goswami was respected, even though spiritual master all day were there as soon as he walked into the assembly. He was then just to hear the very high realization. So, this began on the same question.
Sukhdev
Goswami. Did I say Sukhdev?
He says
So, it took the precedence of his understanding or his realizations. And all of the assembled Vaishnavas also, though including Vyasa and Narada Muni were there, they understood that. So, in which point we understand that and which takes the precedence for the superiority?
Yeah. The thing is that I said the ultimate consideration is one's Krishna consciousness. That is the final consideration of one's advancement. And when it comes to, an apparently junior devotee may be more Krishna conscious, and then apparently senior devotees may give him an elevated position, right? But then this apparently junior devotee, before ascending into that elevated position, he will take the permission of all the other senior Vaishnavas. And he will think that it is by their mercy that he is being able to speak.
Yes, Master.
It seems that when we're dealing with temple devotees, everybody know each other and each other's seniority. But otherwise, we meet so many new devotees, there's no way, unless we ask them directly, when did you take initiation, which is somewhat awkward to ask all the time, then we wouldn't know how to be.
So in a situation like that, the varnashram consideration should be taken into consideration.
Yes, isn't we also hear the thing that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, he was always offering obeisances?
No, that is a misconception.
That is a misconception.
Actually, when somebody used to offer obeisances to him, he used to say Dashosh, that I'm your servant.
Dashosh.
So Burijan Prabhu is here, so I think that says something. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.